a good Styx album was like listening to your favorite radio station, because the songs flowed well together. We really spent a lot of time and energy making sure that the right song followed the previous song, and so it flowed. It had continuity to it, and those were not accidents.
So The Grand Illusion was in part my way of saying that, hey, don't be fooled by all the things you see, because that's not reality. I wanted the band to draw the parallel about being a star, a rock star, on the stage, out there in front of the lights, and I wanted people to understand that, sure, we're part of this illusion, and we're creating it here, okay? We're just as much to blame as anybody, but I wanted to let our audience know that behind the facade, behind the lights, beat the heart of guys who sat in that audience just recently and looked up at that stage. And the differences and the distances between us are nowhere near as great as they're perceived.
Hi, this is Tommy Shaw.
Hi, this is Dennis Dean.
Hi, this is JY from Styx in the studio.
The music business has always had a bi-coastal bias toward the media centers of New York City and LA at the expense of the vast Midwest America. It's certainly nothing new, this myopic musical mentality, but it has made the road to rock and roll success particularly long for many Midwest musicians, including Bob Seger, Joe Walsh, Cheap Trick, John Mellencamp, even their Canadian counterparts, Rush. But no one knows the arduous journey from nowhere to national favorites better than the Chicago band Styx, named after the river in Greek mythology that runs through hell. It took 7 albums in 7 years to break out. Released on 7/7/77, it was Styx with The Grand Illusion that shattered any perception of Midwest mediocrity. Singer-songwriter, keyboard player Dennis DeYoung connected with fraternal twins John and Chuck Panazzo, guitarist John Cervaleski, and lead guitar player James J.Y. Young, who comprised the original Styx lineup. Here's Dennis DeYoung with me in the studio.
I knew the Panazzos. They were a couple years younger than me, and but I didn't hang around with them, because, you know, when somebody's 2 years younger than you at that age, they're like 100 years younger than you. But I was walking down the street one day. It was the summertime, and the doors and windows are open, you know, and I heard music coming from inside, and I went up on the porch, and I knew Johnny's and Chucky's older sister. And I went in, I says, "What's going on?" They says, "Well, they have a band." And I stood in there, and I watched them, and there was 3 guys, just John and Chuck and a kid playing accordion. How about it? I want to let people, guitar players, know, like John Mellencamp and the Talking Heads and Paul Simon, and all the people who are bringing accordions back now, all these guitar players, that they were personally responsible for killing the careers of thousands of young men in this country by playing electric guitars. So they owe us big. Anyway, I played accordion since I was 7 years old. You know, I was an Italian kid. And when I saw the band, and I saw this kid that was playing accordion, he'd been playing like about 2 years. And at that time, I'd been playing about 8 years. And I was much better than he was, only because I'd been playing much longer. So I told the Panazzo, I said, "Listen, why don't you come over to my basement? Let's play." So I dug out the old squeeze box. And guess what? The next week, they said goodbye to that guy. And we've been together. We were together ever since. Then in 1970... James Young, J.Y., joined the band, and that was the nucleus of Styx.
Lead guitarist, songwriter, and vocalist James J.Y. Young.
We were in 2 rival bands on the south side of Chicago. They played things that were a little bit more mainstream, let's say, the things that were vocally oriented, Three Dog Night, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, the Beatles, and the group I was in, I was definitely the counterculture individual, very much a Hendrix fanatic, and, you know, trying to do the tracks that were, you know, obscure ones that we really liked that nobody knew. And as a consequence, my group rarely got any jobs because we just were not in that kind of demand. And these guys were. I know I was a real arrogant young man, and I know that I annoyed Dennis greatly. They lost a guitarist, and 2 guys in my group went into Jehovah's Witnesses because they thought rock and roll was the music of the devil, and Of course they were right.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call. I know I'm a fool, but what can I say? Whatever the price, I'll pay for you. Madam Blue. Once, long ago, a word from your lips and the world turned around. But somehow you've changed, you're so far away. I long for the past and dream of the days with you. Madam Blue.
Sweet.
But when original Styx lead guitarist John Cyrulesky abruptly left the band, the door of opportunity swung open for a Southern man to walk in. Again, Dennis DeYoung, recalling hearing Alabama boy Tommy Shaw perform for the very first time.
I remember it vividly because I never even heard of Tommy Shaw, but we were looking for a replacement. Our road manager had known Tommy because he played in a bar band in Chicago for many years. And he says, let me give this guy a call. I think he's terrific. And I said, fine. Because Tommy was playing in a bowling alley, playing acoustic guitar. He wasn't even playing rock and roll for the last 6-7 months, I don't think.
Styx lead guitarist James Young.
We really felt that, you know, between the four of us, we could keep the band going. We just needed someone to actually do the parts on stage. And so to have Tommy be as aggressive a writing contributor as he was, and such a stage presence and performer that he was, and, you know, were bonuses that we didn't expect to get, but certainly... I would say Tommy arriving in the group was sort of the beginning of us really being a Super Bowl contender, you might say.
Here's Tommy Shaw.
When John Cyrulesky left Styx suddenly, right before they, you know, they just released a new album on A&M. They'd been on a local label before that, and they were getting ready to do, you know, a national tour. They had a new manager, and they didn't really want to lose stride, so they put out feelers to find somebody quickly, and Vos suggested me. There was another guy who had better hair than me, but he couldn't sing.
I used to like to walk the straight and narrow line. I used to think that everything was fine. Sometimes I'd sit and gaze for days through sleepless dreams, all alone and trapped in time. All alone and trapped in time. I wonder what tomorrow has in mind for me, or am I even in its mind at all? Perhaps I'll get a chance to look ahead and see, soon as I find myself a crystal ball. Soon as I find myself a crystal ball. But tell me where I'm going. I don't know where I've been. Tell me, won't you tell me and then tell me again. My heart is breaking, my body's aching, and I don't know where to go. So tell me, won't you tell me.
So many.
Dennis DeYoung recalls that transitional period for Styx.
It's funny because, you know, we had done Equinox, which was a fantastic record. It had done respectably, but it had not been the success we thought it would be. And Crystal Ball actually sold less than Equinox. So we were like, we were feeling, uh-oh. We're on that downward slide a little bit. And we couldn't understand it. With Grand Illusion, I had, you know, a couple months to listen to Come Sail Away. And I said, Jesus, if this isn't it, what is? Actually, I was pretty depressed when I wrote Come Sail Away. And that's why I wrote it. Because a lot of times I write songs to remind myself what I should be thinking, rather than what it is I am thinking. It's good therapy if the song gets played and people relate and they communicate and they say, you know what you say in that song? That's my life. That's the way I feel. Come Sail Away was really about escaping. You know? It was really about growing up and escaping. It was a time of total reflection in that, okay, I decided I always wanted to be a musician. I always wanted to be a rock musician. I went and I did it. You know, and here I am right in the middle of this thing, right? Right in the middle. And you know what I was saying? I was saying to myself, why? Why did I do this? You know, what was motivating me to be who I am? What was making me who I am? And Come Sail Away really is about that feeling of saying, you know, I wish a gathering of angels would appear somewhere and show me the way. And let me just sail away.
Set an open course for the virgin sea. 'Cause I've got to be free. Free to face the life that's ahead of me. On board, I'm the captain. So climb aboard. We'll search for tomorrow on every shore. And I'll try, oh Lord, I'll try to carry on. So the story goes, but somehow we missed out on the pot of gold. But we'll try best that we can to carry on. Gathering of angels.
sung by original keyboard player Dennis DeYoung, Come Sail Away from the July 1977 release The Grand Illusion became a major hit for Styx. Next, singer-guitarist James Young and Tommy Shaw contribute key songs inspired by Dennis DeYoung's Grand Illusion concept. Follow In the Studio on Facebook and hear more from your favorites anytime at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard with Styx In the Studio, their breakthrough album, The Grand Illusion.
Hey, everybody, this is James Young.
And this is Tommy Shaw.
We are Styx.
And we are In the Studio.
Hi, welcome back to In the Studio. We're listening to The Grand Illusion of Styx, and I'm Dennis DeYoung with my buddy Redbeard.
Thank you all for helping us tell the story of The Grand Illusion from Styx. I can't stress enough that Styx had struggled through 7 albums before they got the combination of band personnel, strong, memorable songs, and crack sound production all to coalesce in 1977. Here's original Styx keyboard player, singer, songwriter, Dennis DeYoung.
It always happened slowly for us. I mean, after this, after The Grand Illusion, things always happen more quickly. I'll never forget because we started on tour with like Kiss and Aerosmith. We were doing support on the East Coast because we had never really played there in any sort of way. And, you know, the typical thing when you come on first, people are yelling for the other band. But by the time we got into the third song, you know, I always say that I think we were responsible for the downfall of a few artists at that particular time because we were way ready, okay? This was a good live band. We were much too good to be supporting anybody who wasn't ready to be prepared to take on the energy and the challenge that Styx was presenting. Because we'd paid our dues, we'd played a billion shows, we kind of struck like a thunderbolt. So what happened was, is like in the middle of that Grand Illusion tour, we went from being a support act to being a full-blown headliner, and we never looked back. But I remember many times, Redbeard, standing behind the stage and looking up and seeing the headliner with all the big amps and all the big gear and the PA and the lights, and wondering if ever we would have the opportunity to be up there. Many times backstage, I would look at that and say, geez, I wonder if we're ever going to get our opportunity to be there. And always grateful that it happened.
Tommy Shaw's Fooling Yourself fit perfectly into the jigsaw puzzle of the Styx grand illusion.
We were all having to deal with how different things were. And, you know, it seemed like the country was going through a similar sort of experience. And when Dennis sang us his verses to the grand illusion, we all, it was like this light came on with all of us. And this spontaneous thing happened with us where we all started getting into that same spirit. And the concept album was born with us then. It's kind of a picture of America being, you know, in a TV age and in a disposable product age, and kind of throwing up a flag and say, let's not lose sight of what's really important, you know, the human beings behind all this. Success is not necessarily having a new car, a bigger house, a nicer pair of shoes. There are a lot more subtle ways to find success, and unless you have those, all those material things really don't mean a whole hell of a lot. And we were all starting to get money, and we could afford all these things, and we were finding that, wait a second, why isn't this making me happy? I remember the song Man in the Wilderness was me kind of saying, wait a second, here I've got everything that I thought I wanted. You know, I'm playing in front of thousands of people every night. People are making this big fuss of me, and some nights things aren't so great with me personally, but, you know, they're looking at me like things are great, and it was kind of confusing for me.
So
Still to come, James Young takes on the myth of America. Former member Dennis DeYoung fires back when the new Styx popularity makes the band an easy target. And current members Tommy Shaw and Lawrence Gowan, I'm Redbeard, in the studio, removing the smoke and mirrors from Styx, the Grand Illusion.
Hey everybody, this is James Young.
And I'm Lawrence Gowan.
And this is Tommy Shaw.
We are Styx.
And we are in the studio.
Thanks again, gentlemen. It is the 5th anniversary of the Grand Illusion. James Young contributed a song to the Grand Illusion album that expanded on the overall concept.
I just remember waking up in the middle of the night saying, you know, what is one of the grandest illusions we have in this country? And that is this beauty contest, you know, the Miss America contest. And it just sounded like a great idea for a song for this record. And the riff that I came up with, it sort of was inspired by a Jethro Tull song, Minstrel in the Gallery, although it doesn't sound really anything like it. And from there, it just sort of came together.
Tommy Shaw of Styx.
Miss America had a great energy and kind of an anger to it that we all really loved. Drawing a corollary between the Miss America contest and the way people in America seem to look at things, and as kind of a beauty pageant without much depth or substance, you know, beneath it, and it used as kind of a pun, don't you Miss America, you know, in other words, don't you remember the things that used to be and the way things used to be, but it kind of looks at Miss America as an animal in a cage to be admired like some sort of an animal in a zoo. I think JY is one of the only people in the world who could really pull the anger off in that song.
You and us, how can it be? You and us.
Miss America from the 1977 platinum album The Grand Illusion by Styx, with the biting commentary by guitarist vocalist James J.Y. Young. Here's Dennis DeYoung in the studio.
It's funny because I had the title The Grand Illusion during Equinox. That's when it first occurred to me, which was a couple years earlier. A friend of mine just brought it up to me while we were recording. We were going to go in to make this. He says, whatever happened to the title The Grand Illusion? I said, yeah, you know something? That's a good title, and it really fits how I feel in my life right now about what I do and about the whole atmosphere in America. It had something to do with the paradox of illusion versus reality in our culture, in that things that you see in advertisement and television and the radio, they present lifestyles, they present images that are by and large false. It sets up disappointment in two ways. One, if you never achieve any amount of success, quote-unquote, as it is viewed in our culture, then when you see all these things, these images, you feel yourself a failure. You feel like you've missed out on something, that somebody else has the answers and somebody else really is living the life that, you know, that you're missing out on, and you feel less because of it. On the other hand, if you're fortunate enough to succeed, you find out quite readily that all those images were somebody else's imagination in the first place, because even if you do succeed, those images, that lifestyle, that perception of reality doesn't exist for anyone. And so The Grand Illusion was in part my way of saying that, hey, don't be fooled by all the things you see, because that's not reality. And in addition to that, I also drew the parallel. I wanted the band to draw the parallel being a star, a rock star, on the stage out there in front of the lights, and I wanted people to understand that, sure, we're part of this illusion, and we're creating it here, okay? We're just as much to blame as anybody, but I wanted to let our audience know that behind the facade, behind the lights, beat the heart of guys who sat in that audience just recently and looked up at that stage. And the differences and the distances between us are nowhere near as great as they're perceived.
Come on in.
Tommy Shaw remembers it when it became apparent that after six previous Styx albums and all the one-nighters opening concerts for others, the newly found popularity of this seventh effort was no illusion.
We were at the Fox Theater in Atlanta, I'll never forget it, and we just played to a very enthusiastic audience. And when we came back after the show, our manager walked in with this whole stack of black sweatshirts, and on the front of it, it had a picture of a gold album. It said, "Congratulations, Styx, Grand Illusion, gold." And it was the most important gold record that we ever got. That was like our first real sign that things were starting to explode. It gave Styx a certain feeling of being accepted and as a bona fide rock and roll band in America, and it kind of put all criticisms to rest.
As so often is the case, Styx's subsequent stardom, which was established with the Grand Illusion in 77, and four more multi-million sellers in a row, made them a big target for some rock critics to lob pot shots at their sound. A few of these Styx detractors even coined a term for their melodic, crafted, hugely popular sound. They called it corporate rock. Dennis DeYoung thinks it's a cheap shot, at best misinformed, at worst slanderous and unfair.
Let me just say one more thing about corporate rock. Styx never took a dime in endorsements from anybody, and we were offered endorsements all the time for everything. We never took a dime for our tours. We always funded everything we did ourselves. The idea of us being corporate rock was nonsense from the beginning, and it was something that was made up in someone else's mind. The band only ever did what it did best, which was write the best songs they could, record them, and play the best shows they knew how. All bands, whether it be Bruce Springsteen or the lowliest band playing in Rockford, Illinois, if they sign a record deal and they get with a record company, marketing takes place. It's just how the press chooses to perceive the marketing. Styx never took a dime from anybody. I still get offers. I got an offer from Burger King for the Best of Times. I said no. I figured it was going to end up being the Best of Fries.
Styx co-founder Dennis DeYoung left the band before the end of the 90s. Co-founder drummer John Panazzo passed away. But bass-playing brother Chuck Panazzo still performs with Styx on selected dates, supplementing the strong rhythm section of Ricky Phillips and Todd Sukerman. The choice of Lawrence Gowan in 1999 on keyboards and vocals came into our discussion in the studio with Lawrence and Tommy Shaw.
How important to the concept is having three lead singers with totally distinct vocal styles and textures.
And willing to sing harmony with each other. That's one thing. It's one thing to be a singer, but to be a lead singer and to be willing to be part of a chorus at the same time. Because that requires you abandoning putting your own spin on the song and singing along with somebody else. That's one thing that distinguishes Styx, aside from the three lead vocals like that. But it was a huge help for us because we were able to not only just sing the songs that required one voice, but when it came time for the big chorus, it was a piece of cake for us.
Lawrence?
Well, yeah, everyone's musical personality or their forte is allowed to come to the forefront with whatever songs they choose to sing. Like, the toughest thing for me coming into Styx and the thing that I have to be most cognizant of is being part of that three voice. What do you call the three-headed monster again? Hydra. The Hydra. That's
Hydra,
the dog with the three
good,
heads. There,
very good. You're right.
The power of those three voices together are one of the most distinctive things about the sound of Styx. And being able to put myself into that block harmony with JY and Tommy has been that's the thing that I'm most aware of. And so I think that's just one of our strengths.
Above, and all I feel is love in this dream. Sand, water,
the earth beneath my feet. I feel complete. I wake to darkness, remembering the fear I'm really here, so far away. Lost, helpless, with words I'd never say until this day.
From the Styx album, The Mission. I'm Redbeard. We'll be back in the studio after this. This is Redbeard in the studio, thanking my guests, Tommy Shaw and James Young of Styx, plus Dennis DeYoung. In the Studio was written and produced by yours truly, Redbeard, for Bearded Fish Productions, copyright 2017, all rights reserved. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and online at inthestudio.net.